Pathway to High Destiny, Part 4. We shall be rounding off on this subject today. And the media, please, you will do us the favor of giving us a good recap for the sake of those who did not start with us. And by the time we are ending the subject, you will be able to understand how this relates to mercy. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14, Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14, he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. Our objective in this study is to understand the way to our high destiny in God. Everyone who is familiar with this ministry understands that this month is our month of destiny. By divine providence, I rededicated my life to God on the 12th of May, 40 years ago, rededicated, 1986, 40 years ago, the same month. By divine providence, the vision for this ministry was given by the last weekend of May of 1986. Again, 30 years ago, our father in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedepo, the vision for his ministry was given to him in the first weekend of May, between the 1st and the 3rd of May of 1981, 45 years ago. So that is why we call this month our month of destiny. And we believe that God, everyone connected, associated, related with this ministry, is positioned for a destiny opening in this month. You believe that? Say loud, amen. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. But we saw while studying this month that the high place is God's ordained place for his people. A city set on a hill. In Isaiah chapter 2 and in verse 1, the word of the Lord that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, verse 2, he said that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and nations will be flowing like we are seeing right now. The Lord's house shall be exalted. The people of the Lord shall be exalted. The mountain top, the high place in the realm of the spirit, that is our realm. In the realm of the physical, the material realm, that is our realm. If I can show you one example of somebody who was high in all realms, was Daniel. Spiritually, Daniel was the head of the magicians, the astrologers in Babylon. He wasn't a magician, he wasn't a witch doctor, but he was a spiritual man who had more spiritual capacity than the occult people. Daniel was the head of the academicians. He was the head of the politicians. He was a practical standard of what God intends for his people. That is, in any realm we meet the people of the world, we are above them. Spiritually, financially, materially, mentally, academically, in every single realm. And I prophesy today, somebody is rising to the top in the name of Jesus. And what is the secret of our going to our high place in God? Number one was the pursuit of God. When you pursue God, you possess heights. The pursuit of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that people are dying to get will be yours. Number two is the fear of God. Job feared God. And that fear of God made him the greatest man in all of the East. The fear of God. Number three is the voice of God. The voice of God's direction. The voice of God. That voice of God brought Abraham out of obscurity and turned him into a generational celebrity. The voice of God's direction. Number four is the mercy of God. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy on. The mercy of God was behind the making of Jacob. It was behind the making of Solomon, of David. David experienced what was called the sure mercies of David that positioned him above everyone of his generation. We stopped there last Sunday. Then by the midweek service, we moved forward to number five, which is vision for the high place. You cannot find yourself there if you don't see yourself there. You have to see there to get there. Vision. You cannot consistently see yourself in the pit and find yourself at the top. It's not possible. Vision. What vision do you have for God? Number six is the right company. Show me who you call friend, and I will show you where you find yourself in a short time. The right company. Number seven, the acceptance of responsibility. The acceptance of responsibility is the establishment of authority. Accept responsibility means do what others avoid. Go where others don't want to go. Take the initiative. Was that number eight? Number seven. What of number eight? All right, number eight. Embrace excellence. Excellence. And I want to say some things. Or rather, you call it the way of excellence. What is the way to the high place? Number eight, the way of excellence. Note this down quickly. To give the best to life. That's why we are starting today. Is to get the best out of life. That's first. To give the best to life is to get the best out of life. Second, the way of quality is the way to authority. The way of quality. Show me a man, show me a woman of quality. I will show you a person of authority. Number three. Those who sow excellence reap eminence. They sow excellence. They reap eminence. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He will stand before kings. Proverbs 22:29. Whatever you do, if you want God to take you to the top in ministry, the top in business, the top in the academics, whatever realm you are, give excellence, quality. And fourth, you can't do things anyhow and get anywhere in life. You can't do things anyhow and get anywhere in life. It's not possible to do things anyhow and get anywhere. Those who do things anyhow don't go anywhere. They don't go anywhere. Example, Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 verse 1 to verse 3. Daniel had the spirit of excellency. He was set over the realm of Babylon by the spirit of excellence. Example number 2, David. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 17. David could play well. 17 and 18. I've seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. I mean, he was the best instrumentalist in Israel. He found himself in the palace. Number 3 example, Joseph. Genesis 41 and in verse 37. Can we find, and in verse 38, can we find such a one? He was a man among men. All the magicians of Egypt couldn't offer what Joseph offered. Excellence. Brothers and sisters, make it easy for God to take you up by providing excellence. Many people are praying, but in all their prayer, their life is filled with mediocrity. And God's hands are tied. He said, you want me to place you on top of those who are better than you in every way? Try. Just try. The way of excellence. That was number 8. Pathway to destiny, number 9, is the provision of solution. The provision of solution. Generational solution. Pathway to high destiny. The provision of generational answers and solutions. Who were the people who went high? Because they provided answers, provided solutions. Number 1, Joseph. We just talked about him. Joseph provided a generational solution. In Egypt, that took him to the palace. Genesis 41, verse 36 to 44. He provided generational solution. The food challenge, crisis, famine. How he devised the means of preserving the food and devised the technology of saving the food for 14 years. He took him to the palace. Number 2, David. He provided the solution to a national challenge called Goliath. Goliath was a national challenge. David provided a solution. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 to 37, verse 34, all the way to verse 49, he pulled down Goliath. The outcome of it was that God took him to the top. We saw Joseph, and we have seen David. Note the following. 1. forget this. The offering of generational answers is behind the making of generational assets. If you are a generational answer, you become a generational asset. The offering of generational answers is behind the making of generational assets. Nobody can say, who is this? When you are offering answers to your generation. Second, the provision of solution is foundation to elevation in life. The provision of solution is foundation to the to elevation in life. Finally, of second to the last. What you give, you don't lack. Those who give answers don't lack answers. Those who give solution don't lack solution. Hey! And finally, problem solved and question answered are the determinants of the value of life. Problem solved, question answered, they are the determinants of the value of life. The value of your life is not determined by the cloth you wear or the price of your shoe or the price of your car. The value of your life is determined by the problem you solve, the questions you answer. Somebody say amen. In some cases, a cleaner may be more valuable to you than a professor in a particular field. Because the cleaner, the house help, the somebody may be solving more problems for your life than the professor who may be valuable in his realm but not to you. Am I communicating at all? So if you want to increase your value on earth, solve more problems. If you want to increase your value on earth, answer more questions. When you are a pastor, we don't just preach general theology without life application. You know, there is a preaching you preach, and somebody has heard the preaching, but he's asking himself, so what do I do with what I heard? What do I do with this now? You have told me about a lot of things about the Holy of Holies and many, many things that are very, very, very distant. How does it relate to my life? Why? How do I walk on a daily basis with this that I am hearing? Life is practical, not mystical. If you make it mystical, you make it miserable. You make life miserable for yourself. Am I speaking to anybody here at all? So we should be on the assignment. How many widows? How many orphans? How many sick people? How many afflicted people? How many confused people? How many people looking for direction are getting answers as they come in contact with my life? are getting answers as they come in contact with my destiny. I announce to somebody here today, the Lord will use you as an answer to your generation. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. A louder believer, say amen. That is the value of your life. Let me show you practically. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 18, look at what happened. See how they value. Now, Saul was mad. They were looking for somebody who will cure his madness with the instrument. Then they answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore, Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me your son David, which is with the sheep. He was answering another question there. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer, what we call aide-de-camp, ADC, or chief security officer, CSO, his right-hand man. Look at this. How can a newcomer be given the assignment of protecting the king? You have not seen him before. No military training, nothing to say this was a trained military personnel. But he just arrived and overtook all those who were in front of him because of answer. He could solve something that all those who were on ground before could not solve. Don't frown too much if people come from behind you and appear as if they are moving in front of you. Ask yourself the question, what is he solving that I am not solving? Not every time they promote people against you that it is the fault of the devil. Am I communicating at all? That the value of David instantly overtook the value of everyone that was there before him. Because he could answer a question that nobody who was there before him could answer. He could solve a problem. That is number 9. Provision of generational answers and solution. And number 10, which is the final, it is the way of love and mercy. Love and mercy. Love and mercy. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Love and mercy demonstrated will be your ladder to the top. I'll give you 3 examples. In Genesis chapter 40, from verse 1 to verse 8, we saw the life of Joseph, who demonstrated love and mercy towards the butler and the baker. He saw them, they were sad. Any other person could have overlooked them. They were all prisoners. But no, he had care. He had mercy. He had compassion on these people. And that was the link that took him from the prison later to the palace. Because the butler told the Pharaoh about the man who loved them enough not to leave them depressed. The man who loved them enough to interpret their dreams for them. The demonstration of love and mercy. Example number two, Nehemiah. When Nehemiah saw, heard the report, look at that in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 1, all the way to verse 4. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. He was weeping when he heard that his people were in affliction. Jerusalem was broken down. That he was a cup bearer for the king. But that demonstration of love, of mercy, took him to Judah and made him the governor. It made him the governor. The demonstration of love and mercy. And finally, example of David. When he saw the children of Israel under the oppression of Goliath, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 24 and 26. And David spoke to the man, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Beloved, I'd like you to note 4 or 5 things about love. The reason why many people's lives are where they are is because the heart for people is not there. One of the pastors who came from Brazil last week, and I placed my hand on him like this, and we were talking, just loving him, just wishing him well. When he left, he told somebody, he said he has never felt such a love in his life. It's not a matter of what he said, it's a matter of what he's felt. You see, there are times that people say things but you feel nothing. Say, oh, you know I love you, you know I'm concerned about you. And from the word of his mouth, you know he's saying the opposite. He said this man went back. He said, I've never felt this sort of love in my life. One of our pastors here, he said he never really had a relationship with his father. So he didn't just look for a spiritual father. He was trusting God for a physical father. And he felt that love, that warmth. It's not possible to go near God and not flow in love. For God is love. Your wife will feel it. Your children will feel it. Everybody around you will feel it. If you are really godly, if you are really near God, if you are really close to God, I don't know the kind of God you claim to know, and yet your wife is under pressure and under threat. Your children are running away from you. People can't come near you, and there is a God, you know. I don't know the kind of God that you know. Pastor Marvin has felt that love too. Our Indian evangelist has felt that love too. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Take your seat. Number one thing I want you to know is that love and mercy are the ladder for generational leadership. Their ladder. Real generational leader. I'm not talking of position occupiers. I'm not talking of disastrous position, disastrous political office holders. I'm talking of people with leadership mantle. Something you feel. Mercy for, love, a heart for people. A heart. Second thing to note is that heart for people gives you height among people. It gives you height. Your heart for people is a determinant of your height among people. It's natural. You don't even struggle. Listen to this third thing I want to say. People are not influenced or moved by your position. They are influenced and moved by your disposition. Your disposition. What is your disposition? What kind of vibe, like the young people say, what vibe do people feel when they come near you? What are they sensing? People are not influenced. People are not moved by your position. They are moved and they are influenced by your disposition. How do they feel around you? The fourth thing. So don't struggle for the position. Work on your disposition. Work on your disposition. The fourth thing that you should know, and it was already said by John Maxwell, the leadership man, he said, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. Don't care about anything you know, but what they want to know is, do you care? Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. What is the impact of care and love? The impact. One, the impact of care and love. Maybe you can just continue the flow. Next. Love and mercy provokes people's followership. It naturally provokes followership. It just puts you in front and people follow. Love and mercy provoke people followership. Are you ready for the next? Love and mercy activate potentials. It activates it. Activates or activate potentials, opportunities, possibilities, power. Again, love in your heart, mercy from your heart, it will activate for you your potentials, opportunities, possibilities, even power. Matthew 14:14, Jesus was moved with compassion and he moved with power. He healed. Joseph had the potential of interpreting dreams. But when he saw the butler and the baker, and he had that compassion, it caused it to flow afresh. He said, tell me the dream. Interpretation will flow. When David knew that Goliath was a threat, and he had compassion for the people of Israel, opportunity opened. He found a stone by the brook. He saw the forehead of Goliath. All of them, everything just opened up for him. That this man can be brother. Show me a man who walks in love. A man who cares for people. He will see potentials. His gifts, your gifts are waiting for your love. They are waiting on your compassion. Your graces, your mantles are waiting for the love in your heart to be triggered. For the care that you have. Even the prophetic flows The deeper your compassion, the more the flow of function, the more the inspiration, the more the tap is turned off, turned on. Love and mercy, they activate potentials, opportunities, possibilities, power. Next, love and mercy establishes the presence of God. Show me a man who walks in love, who has pity and mercy on people. When you come around him, you feel God. It establishes the presence of God. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. He said, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. You see, Joseph, his heart was filled with love. And in Genesis chapter 39 verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Show me someone who loves God, who loves people, who cares for people. You will feel God when you come around him. Hallelujah! Love, okay, 8 now, we're going. Love and mercy attracts the mercifulness of God. Today we are talking of service of mercy. Are you looking for mercy from God? Show mercy to people. He said in Psalm 18 verse 25, with the merciful, thou will show yourself merciful. Do you want God to show you mercy? Show people mercy. Show your children mercy. Husband, wife, show them mercy. Show the people of your life, show them mercy. Don't be that brutal, bitter personality. Show mercy. It is possible to be a lion. Jesus was a lion with the tribe of Judah, but he was also a lamb. The Lamb of God that taketh away. There are areas to be a lion, and there are areas to be a lamb. Don't be a lion when you should be a lamb, and don't be a lamb when you should be a lion. Am I communicating? Face to face with the forces of darkness, let the lion roar. Face to face with evil, let the lion roar. I am such a loving man. Ask my wife, she will tell you. Ask her the last time she felt loved in terms of interaction, she will tell you. But also she said, there is a countenance of you I don't want to see. She knows that countenance. Against hell, against the forces of darkness. When I am thinking of somebody, people's oppressions and afflictions, and what to do about it. Am I communicating at all? We are in a service of mercy. Please, anybody who is meant to be a recipient of your mercy, extend the mercy. We are necessary. Today, for with the merciful, thou will show yourself mercy. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking you to force yourself to be everybody's friend. That's not what I'm talking about. Somebody gave you water to drink, and something told you, don't drink the water. And you put the water on the ground, and the dog drank it and died. What does that mean? He planned to destroy you, but you couldn't drink the water. What is your responsibility towards that person?
Would you forgive the person? Will you forgive the person? Will you forgive the person? Answer is a capital yes. Are you the friend of the person? Capital no. If he gives you what I get, will you collect it? That's it. So I'm talking about wisdom. All right? In your mercy, there is still wisdom. Show the mercy, but walk in wisdom. Because people don't, at times when people hear something, they say, okay, that person that wanted to kill me, okay, to show him mercy means I should return back and be his friend. No. The praying mantis does not bend his hand, unfold his hand on time. If you try to bend it, he returns it back. How many of you know the praying mantis? That insect. The hand is like this. There are many human beings like that. The zebra does not forget his skin on time. You can't wash it with a bleach. So there are people like that. But let your heart be clear in terms of mercy. Let the bitterness be off the heart while you walk your life with wisdom. But today, mercy has come for somebody. Before you leave this ground in the next few minutes, very few, mercy will speak for you. Anybody looking for mercy here today? You want mercy to speak for you? Stand on your feet with a shout of mercy. Everyone on the gallery, be upstanding with a shout of mercy. Lift up your two hands in a louder shout of mercy. Lift your hands high. Wave it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Anywhere you are, in this house, on the galleries, right on the ground floor, outside overflow, and you are saying to me, Pastor, the mercy I need right now is the mercy of surrendering my life to Jesus, is the mercy of forgiveness for my sins. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want today to make a new day for me. Wherever you are, you need Jesus in your life. Pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Everywhere you are today, and everyone watching all around the world, you have the need to have Jesus forgive you your sins. You want today to mark a new day in your life. Let me see your hand. Wave it. I see all the hands everywhere. Lift up your hands. Everyone who is giving their life to Christ this moment, quickly, wherever you are, pick your Bibles and your bags and run to the front here. Let's receive you. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, quickly rush to the front here and let's receive you. While the rest of us, you can off your torchlight now and present your list before God, either your list or your hand, while we receive those coming forward. I'll give you the count of 10 or 20 for the sake of those coming from the gallery. Run to the front here. One.
By your grace and mercy, I was justified. By your grace and mercy, I was justified.
Two.
Six.
7. Can we take our seat 1 minute? Everybody, take your seat 1 minute. Take your seat 1 minute. Those coming, keep on coming. Is my help line in the air? Am I light, light?
Lord, I do not.
Anyone anywhere else, you need a yoke broken from your life, an addiction broken, come forward and let us receive you. Place your hand on your chest, all of you in the front here, and pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of sin broken. Grace to live for God is released upon you. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody say aloud, amen.